How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. It is a brand new day, a brand new podcast name. We have all kinds of really cool things in store for the shows moving forward. But I guess before we jump in, we'll just take a couple seconds to really kind of David Locke, he of Utah Jazz fame, is putting this stuff together. He's putting together this really cool podcast network. We were fortunate enough to be involved, and I honestly can't wait to really get going. Harrison, I guess we're stuck talking to each other daily now.
The difference is now I'm being compensated for dealing with you. So if I'm in a much more pleasant mood from now on, like it's because of that.
I don't know if that would even help, to be honest.
It'll wear off.
We're joined today in Ben, thank you for letting us, handle that little spiel in the beginning. But we're joined today by Ben Rosales of Silver Screen and Roll, of about 73 different law schools, and of a way higher understanding of most of the Summer League roster. So that's what we're here to talk to him about. Ben, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, thanks. I'm just letting you guys know that now that you're compensated for this stuff, the bill is now handled by you guys for our blogger lunch in Vegas.
Dang, I mean, that's just terrible planning.
Yeah, that's
a terrible planning on our part.
Yeah, that was a mistake. You could see we're new at this.
As Ben says, Summer League is literally days away. We are right around the corner. I am hours away from flying out, it feels like, because I'm leaving really early Friday morning. I can't wait. It's my favorite trip of the year. You get to see all kinds of people who are similarly interested in basketball, and then you get to see the seeds planted of the Lakers' future. I guess we'll just – what are you most excited to watch? We'll start there, and then we'll jump into the roster and all the technical stuff. Ben, what are you most excited to watch in Las Vegas, aside from Harrison scoff at our adult beverage habits?
And our eating of delectable meat and other things. No. But I think the most important thing, I mean, even above the prospects, which watching them is great, but this will be the first kind of sign we have of Luke Walton's system. So, I mean, after 2 years of basically putting our head to the wall and hitting it really, really hard over and over again, we're actually going to have a competent system. So, and it won't directly be Luke, it'll be Jesse Mermoys, who is Luke's assistant, who'll be running things. And Mermoys was previously coach of the Raptors 905, their D-League team, and it was twice the Summer League coach for the Raptors. So he's familiar with Luke. He has experience, so he should look a lot more competent than Mark Madsen has these past 2 years. And that, at the very least, will be really refreshing to watch. Hopefully,
it was almost sad to watch Madsen last year because I don't think any coach was going to be successful. And then the criticism after the fact was that they tried to implement way too much of Byron's system. So even Byron's antiquated system was too deep for the guys to learn and memorize in a week or so, and poor Madsen's just stuck out there with his hands on his hips like, gosh, this is what I got myself into. Although it should be noted, we should have known he was doomed when he was wearing black shoes and white socks as a combination. That was my analysis before he coached a single minute of basketball. That wasn't going to end well. Harrison,
supposed to do that? Is that like a thing?
Oh my God, Harrison, really?
No.
No, Harrison, you're not supposed to do that. What aside from fashion advice, what are you most looking forward to?
Well, I guess it's less of looking. Well, I guess now, like, packing my wardrobe differently, but other than that, it's figuring out. It's kind of more of a morbid curiosity, but. What are the Lakers going to do if D'Angelo Russell drops 30 points in the first game and the Lakers are just like, all right, he's too good for this. We're going to sit him down. I'm a little bit morbidly curious to see what they're going to do at point guard beyond him because the roster doesn't look incredibly promising depth-wise after that. Like, are we going to get Jabari Brown point guard? Because Jabari Brown is a lot of things, but he's not a point guard.
I can't wait to – you could – It's a very conservative drinking game if you go out there and take a drink for every Jabari Brown pass because you're Harrison, you could partake in that. that was one of the names that stuck out to me though, for you know, regarding what kind of team they're actually gonna have out there. Jabari Brown has been connected to the Lakers for what feels like 18 years because of how often he's been coming and going and all that stuff. I guess for me, what I'm most looking forward to, I'm going to keep it pretty straightforward. I really can't wait to see D'Angelo Russell with a little bit more space and a system that makes more sense, you know, with Tarik Black. Or no, it won't be Black. Black isn't playing, is he?
No.
But with rollers who have a direction and are hopefully able to stand upright longer than Roy Hibbert was last year. I'm looking forward to watching D'Angelo Russell in that kind of situation. as far as names go, the notable ones, obviously we talked about Russell. Brandon Ingram is going to be there.
As far as Russell, what do you guys have as your realistic expectations for him? Like, what do you think fans can probably expect in terms of averages for his second go-round in Summer League?
Like 25... 5-5. Honestly, he really should go in and monopolize a good chunk of the touches, and he should be able to destroy your average guard on this level. I mean, whether it's in the post, as it seems that he's been working on so far, in which he was already effective at last year before he presumably bulked up this summer. And then just in general, I mean, him and in a sane offense, I mean, we're not even talking about a well-implemented offense, just a sane offense that runs pick and roll well and has cutters and has off-ball movement and what have you. I mean, he should look really good in this environment, and I mean, he has enough talent around him that they can't, like, gang up on him, and he should be able to take advantage of smaller guards and such. So, I mean, he very well could... as Harrison alluded to, go in the first game, drop 30, and the Lakers could say, okay, we're good, and then allow him to go for his select team responsibilities. Although, I will say that the Lakers do have a very good backup point guard option, which we'll get, I suppose we'll get to later.
Have you guys been watching the clips from their practices and such so far? They've released, I guess, 3 or 4 videos of you know, behind-the-scenes stuff in their scrimmages. Have you seen any of that?
I saw little bits and pieces of it today. Yeah, just like there was one clip that the Lakers sent out where Jabari Brown got free for a three-pointer off of a screen from Ingram that kind of left the defense scrambled, and it was total like off-ball movement after Ingram had given the ball up, and it was just something that we didn't really see a whole lot of last year.
Right. It was what I was going to say though regarding Russell, because Ben was talking about it, but there was a possession where they looked for Russell in the post, and the poor backup point guard or whoever was in charge of guarding him was just dwarfed. The poor it didn't go very well, and he wound up missing the shot. But he started, I believe, at the pinch post and took 2 dribbles, and those 2 dribbles got him to about a couple feet away from the basket, and it was impressive how forceful he was in that situation. And I think it was even a repost that he threw the ball out there after seeing he didn't like his initial position, threw the ball out. I think it was Randall threw the ball back into him, and just the patience that the Lakers showed right there, just the sensical patience that they showed there was something that we haven't seen, and then combine that with the off-ball movement that Harrison alluded to, and I've seen three clips, and I'm already exponentially more excited about what I'm going to watch this weekend compared to what I watched last year this time of the year. Ben, you mentioned the backup point guard, and like Harrison said, if Russell does come out and play well, they're a little thin at the position. Who comes in, and what should we expect from whoever steps in?
Or I guess, am I totally wrong? Do they have good depth here? Is this just a guy that I don't know a lot about?
Well, the main backup should be Xavier Munford, who was on the Summer League team last year. And he managed, he went back to the D-League after the Lakers cut him from their Summer League team. He played pretty well, and then he ended up in Memphis after Memphis suffered their 5,000 injuries and still managed to get the playoffs. And he actually played rather well. And I think he was one of the better D-League performers last year. So I think, and even last Summer League and kind of the system that they were running, he was one of the team's better performers, all things being relative, of course. So he's a pretty vanilla guard. He's pretty big. He's 6'3". He shoots the ball well. He distributes decently, not great. So, I mean, he's, by the standards of Summer League play, he's above average and perfectly serviceable. So, I mean, in terms of getting looks for Anthony Brown, Brandon Ingram, Larry Nance, and so on and so forth, he should be fine. And then even behind him, there's no kind of direct point guard backup, but I imagine Jabari Brown will never have to play point. I'll say that.
Thank God.
As interesting as that will be. So the other backup would be Trevor Lacy, who for ACC plans, he played at NC State. I went undrafted in 2015, and last year he played in Italy and actually played quite well. I think he was one of the EuroLeague's best scorers. And then he's kind of a tweener between the one and the two. He's like 6'3 with a 6'4 wingspan. He's the kind of type of guy who usually he can't play in the NBA because he's essentially a two in a point guard's body. And even nowadays, guys like that find it pretty hard to crack into the league. But he's pretty talented, and he should be able to kind of take the primary backup minutes behind Munford if Russell goes elsewhere.
Ben mentioned him in passing, and Harrison, I think it was about a couple weeks ago in a previous show that we had recorded, you said that somebody you were really looking forward to watching because of what seems to be on the line is Anthony Brown. What would you consider a successful trip to Las Vegas for Anthony Brown?
Well, he has to shoot the three better than he shot it during the year. I think that much kind of goes without saying. And really, that's the main thing that I'm looking for. And then for him to continue playing defense at the level he did for the Lakers, because in the regular season he was a really capable defender. I thought he did really well on defense, especially considering he was a second round rookie, which, you know, you don't exactly expect those guys to come in and acquit themselves well on that end, even though that was supposed to be one of his specialties. But I mean, his shot was just not good. It just didn't come along in the NBA. It didn't translate at all from Stanford, where he shot, like, I think 41% or something like that. So you'd think that he'd be able to adjust, and it looks like they've been working mostly on his lower body from kind of the videos and social media stuff and whatever that the team has sent out over the summer. So I would imagine part of that is trying to get a little bit more lower body strength under him when he's going up on that shot, and maybe he'll be able to have a little bit more effectiveness, because if he doesn't show anything in Summer League, I think his roster spot is at least a little bit in danger in training camp.
Does that seem fair to say, Ben, that the Lakers might start looking elsewhere if Anthony Brown doesn't show something here? Because he's looking at, you know, he already has, you would think, Deng, and you would obviously think Ingram ahead of him on the depth chart. So the minutes are already going to be kind of hard to come by. How much do you think is riding on this summer league for Anthony Brown? Gosh, I spaced.
I know, I agree with Harrison. I think his future rotation spot, if one can be found for him, is definitely at stake here. I mean, he has to perform decently well. I mean, his contract is guaranteed for next year, and then he has another non-guaranteed year tacked onto that. So, but the numbers are sufficiently small that if the Lakers really wanted to move away from him, because they didn't believe he could produce, they could do so pretty easily. So, I mean, if he goes out and throws up a complete stinker, which is be bad at his age, he's very old for a sophomore year player, he's 23, then it wouldn't be a great sign. So, I mean, at that point, the Lakers would think about moving away. And his, I mean, as it stands, his rotation spot's probably a bit endangered. I mean, as you alluded to, Ingram and Deng are there, but even to the extent that the team might not be done in free agency, they might pick up a veteran guard. That guy could steal away from minutes from two. I mean, we've been looking and seeing if someone like Portland's Alan Crabb is available. That's something that's really unlikely, but that's just one situation in which they could bring in a wing that would definitely replace all of Brown's minutes. So as it stands, it's pretty precarious for him altogether. But he, however it turns out, with the Lakers signs or not, he definitely needs to perform well.
This is something of a tangent, but we've kind of hit all the, everybody, all the notable names, I guess.
Larry Nance Jr.
Right. Well, that was the next guy I was going to bring up. But the starting the starting five that. How do you pronounce it?
Mermise.
His starting five is kind of interesting because you have a little bit of duplication between guys that they're bringing out there. Obviously, you have Russell at the point guard, and then you have Anthony Brown and Ingram, who both play wings. So you could hypothetically play one or two at the two spot. And then the other one at the three, and then Nance, and you would think Zubac starts to as center. Does that all make sense off the top of the head?
Yeah, Russell, Brown, Ingram, Nance, and Zubac. That sounds about right.
That'd be a fun lineup. That's a lot of length. That's a really long and underratedly athletic starting five out there in Vegas. Harrison, what would you think of that starting group?
Yeah, that looks, at least from what I've looked at of other summer league teams' rosters, you would think that starting five is kind of the potential favorite. But again, we were saying that last year, and then everything went wrong, and so I guess you just don't know. And then you also don't know how that Russell's going to be there the whole time for sure. He might leave for his select team duties and stuff, as we've discussed. But yeah, that looks like the prohibitive favorite, I would think, or at least like a contender to be one of the best teams in Vegas.
Well, I was going to bring this up a little bit later, and we'll come back to some of the lesser-known guys on the roster. But last year I was a little hesitant to bring up expectations with the team because of, the rotation or because of the coaching and because Russell and Clarkson hadn't played any minutes together heading into the thing. So I was a little concerned there. But this year, I'm a little bit more comfortable putting, heaping a few more expectations. Is that a fair stance to make, Ben, or should we still kind of pump the brakes on hashtag Summer League champs?
No, I think the fact that Russell, Brown, and Nance have 1 year of experience under their belts, that the rest of the team is fairly deep, so no matter how the rotation is structured with regards to the reserves, they should look pretty good. Mm-hmm. We're presuming that they're good, they made it to the Summer League playoffs. Those are single elimination games, so put it plainly, stuff happens. So, but still, I mean, it is a good, really good, I mean, it doesn't become quite as good if Russell leaves, even if Munford's a good replacement, he's obviously not anyone close to Russell's talent. But, I mean, fans should come in with the expectation that this team should look very competent by Summer League standards.
And the other thing, too, is I don't think the other teams in Las Vegas are going to be as strong as they were last year, because this year's rookie class isn't nearly as strong as last year's rookie class. And that's something that also needs to be taken into account. Because last year, every single game had some kind of name that everybody was buzzing about, right? You had Minnesota, you had Carl Anthony Towns, who won't be there this year. Even New York had Chris Stapps.
I, for one, am shocked that Carl Anthony Towns did not feel the need to prove himself in Summer League this year.
Yeah,
I was just blown away. I was like, wow, this guy is just full of himself already. What an ego to not want to go, after he was one of the better players in the NBA, not want to go back to Summer League for the second year.
I'd be a little concerned if I were Minnesota fans that he just isn't. He either has too big an ego or just doesn't have enough confidence in that he would prove himself out there.
He doesn't want to go win a Summer League title? What kind of team first mentality is that?
Exactly. He's definitely going to be a bust. all right, so we'll get back to some of the lesser names that we had promised we were going to talk about. We can allude really quickly to Larry Nance Jr., but Larry Nance Jr., I guess for me, it was really cool seeing him shooting three-pointers today. That's a really great addition if he can do that consistently. And he's heading into this summer league without having come off of knee surgery as he was last year, right? Last year he was still reportedly a little gimpy, I believe. Do I have that? I think I have that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So aside from that, is there anything else that you're really hoping to see from Nance? Ben?
I think you hit the main point on that for him to show more range. I'd also like to see him more involved in the pick and roll. I mean, they didn't use him extensively there, whereas you'd think a guy with his athleticism would be used in that, and also on cuts and a little more in transition and things like that. So, I mean, altogether, for lack of a better word, you just want to see him used more and more than just kind of the guy who's there as the release valve for mid-range and shoot shots. It's, as we saw last year, and hopefully these videos we saw recently from summer league practice are probative of what he actually is now, then he can start to show a little more versatility. And it's the I would have liked for him to be show a bit of time as a small ball center, but the team has a lot of guys who could play centers. At least the summer league squad does. So he might not be able to see any time there.
How did you make it through like five things? Sorry, Ben, those were all really good points. But how did you make it through like five things without mentioning you want to see him obliterate some fools?
Yeah, that too. So there should be, we should see a lot more alley-oop stuff, and hopefully Russell and everyone else have been practicing that.
Yeah, the pace was kind of annoying last year. I remember getting really annoyed watching the pace they were playing at this year, and if they can get out and run a little bit more, Larry Nance might actually kill somebody in Las Vegas.
No, like last year, they took their time, ran around in circles for 20 seconds, and then jacked up a shot. It was just slow, disciplined offense.
And somehow that didn't lead to success in the regular season either, when they did the same old crap.
Yeah, no, that learning the system did not really pay off very well.
I do think, and this is where I might have to resign from my job immediately, but we've gone all this time and really haven't spoken about expectations for Brandon Ingram, who is just their number two overall pick heading into this thing. Harrison, with Brandon Ingram coming in, are you looking at defense, offense, comfort on the court? What would stick out the most to you? If you saw it, would you say, all right, yeah, I feel good about this kid?
I guess I'm curious to see how much they actually emphasize him and how much they put him in the get him involved in the offense, because I think that that'll be a good indicator of how ready they feel he is for kind of a bigger role in the NBA this year, is how much they try to involve him in possessions where he's the primary creator, he's running pick and roll, that kind of thing, or are they just going to try and kind of keep the pressure off of him, get him easier baskets that are created for him, get him threes, those types of things. So I am kind of curious to see that, I guess.
Yeah, sounds about right to me. I want to see what he does on defense. He's so long, and the Lakers, I mean, it's a good thing they brought in Luol Deng, and he is still, even at this age, a non-terrible defender. Like, the Lakers last year didn't field any non-terrible defenders. So it'll be nice that they'll have one of those this year. But Ingram, hopefully, at his length and athleticism, is able to really put the clamps on some people. Ben, what would you... I mean, it's really hard to quantify defense from the stands, but how high a priority would you put what he shows defensively in terms of what you're expecting from Brandon Ingram?
Well, in summer league, not that much.
Yeah.
It is summer league, so I mean, and he is a rookie, and he's a, oh wow, Jose Calderon was just traded to the Lakers, so according to Woj, so hopefully they sent a pick, and hopefully that's something. So I'm sorry for interrupting.
No, breaking news.
Breaking news. Somehow Woj just bombed a non-live podcast. That's amazing.
There we go. I mean, so as we see the damage, hopefully the Lakers get a pick. Anyways, the in terms of his defense, I mean, he is long. I mean, I think he still has a lot of fundamentals work to do. He accomplished a lot at Duke by the sheer fact that he was long. So his feet are okay. His stance is okay. His closeout ability is okay. But the fact he was long, he just made stuff happen,
mm-hmm.
For lack of a better word. So, I mean, he still has a lot to go in terms of skill in getting the his feet right. But, I mean, I would just look to see on that end his effort level. So, I mean, is he applying good effort in boxing out? Is he applying good effort in closing out on shooters and what have you? And that's the that's what I would look at more than just kind of. I mean, it'd be good to assess where he is on that level so we can see for the regular season. But I wouldn't take too much from how he looks on defense in a summer league environment.
And that's a very good overriding point when you're getting ready to watch the any kind of team that's put together a month before they start playing games, right? That it's hard to really. evaluate moving forward and make any longer writing statements about what we plan on seeing in the coming year. But that won't stop anybody. We're gonna that's not stopping a single person.
Ingram is a bust. He didn't score 30 in the first summer league game.
Did you see
him?
Oh,
wait, I just replaced D'Angelo Russell with Ingram from last year. We saw some takes coming out. I remember I saw people in the first quarter that were mad about the pick already of last year's summer league. It's like, are you kidding me? Like, it's number one, it's summer league. Number two, it's the first quarter. Chill. Like,
I remember I thought the first quarter he scored. I think Russell scored like 8 points in like. A minute. And
okay,
like,
maybe
oh
I misremembered. Maybe it was the second quarter of a different game.
Like, oh my god, stuff's happening. I'm so excited.
But he turned the ball over near the end of the first quarter, I believe, is how that turned out. And it was like, and you heard murmurs around the court like, oh, they should have taken Okafor, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, the hot takes, especially in Vegas where it's especially hot, are not going to stop at any point anytime soon. All right, so we're going to jump right into the Ben guys. And Ben, as far as, you know, we talked about, obviously, Ivica Zubac is signed. He's officially signed, so we know he's going to make the roster. And then the other starting five that we mentioned is obviously going to be on the roster. So who from the leftovers here, and man, I apologize to everybody who else is on the roster. They've already done way more by making a summer league roster than I'll ever accomplish. But of everybody that you see here on this list, who would you be comfortable enough to say that they could actually get a spot, at least into training camp?
That's tough. The rotation has become pretty full everywhere. I mean, I'd give an advantage to a wing, but even then, it's hard to tell. I wouldn't say there are any clear favorites. I'll give three guys who have a shot. I'll put it that way. So I think Munford has a shot as a backup point guard. Although now that we have Calderon, maybe he doesn't have a shot.
Yeah.
But no, he's an NBA player. I think even if he's a marginal one. So I wouldn't be surprised if he made it to training camp. Jabari Brown, for much of the same reason, we know he can score an NBA level. Everything else is a work in progress, but that he has that skill might be important, and that he has connection with Clarkson might be important. The last guy, I would say Zach August, out of Notre Dame. I'm a big fan of his skill set. So he's a slightly undersized 5. He's about 6'10", 7'1 wingspan. He's a really athletic guy. He can run up the court like a gazelle. He shoots really well near the rim. He's really good in the pick and roll. He's a guy who won't get run off the floor by the teams go small. And he was an exceptionally good rebounder last year. He was top 10 in the country in total rebound rate in college. So the I think he's great as kind of a backup at the 5, but he's really duplicative with
Tarik Black.
Yes, exactly. He's really duplicative of Black. So he might find it hard to get time, but he'd be a useful guy at least to keep around as an asset. So those are the three guys that I would flag as and then maybe Lacey and Jameel Wilson, who's a wing who performed well in the D League. Maybe they have a small shot, but those are the guys that I would say have the primary shot. At least make it to training camp.
That I was going to talk about August because he did seem very interesting. I say this whenever I talk about prospects. That is not my forte. That is not what I'm interested in at all. But what I do is I kind of parse what's going on Twitter, the kind of conversation that's going on Twitter, typically between Ben and Jerry, which is that was a pun intended there.
Ben and Jerry's, it's not for ice cream. It's also for unknown or little-known basketball takes.
But August did sound very interesting because, and I don't know who it was that mentioned it, but there was somebody that actually said August had the chance to actually have a higher ceiling than Tarik Black. I don't know if that was Jerry or that was you then, right, Ben? What goes into that assessment?
Oh, well, I think August has better tools. I mean, Black has the benefits of proven production, but I think. And we'll have to see how Black looks under Luke in a real system. So, I mean, I wouldn't but I would think that August, in terms of his skill set and what he can provide and his production in college, I like him a little more. He's bigger than Black is. I think he's more athletic. He's a very good rebounder. That usually translates to the NBA. So, I mean, the fact that Black has signed his new contract, the 2 years, $12 million, even if the second year is a team option, it kind of gives him the leg up. So even if I say I like August better in a vacuum, the fact that Black is where he is right now gives him the edge, and August might not even make the final roster. But I do like, long term, kind of 5 years from now, August better as a prospect. And this isn't to impugn Tarik Black, who I like quite a bit. But yeah, that's kind of my opinion. And then Jerry had kind of the opposite opinion, but I think we both like August.
So now, what you're saying is you don't expect to see August in August at training camp?
Oh my God.
Oh, you were waiting for that one, weren't you?
Like the last like 30 seconds.
But Harrison, I guess the bonus here is that, you know, because I have been interested and curious as to see how D'Angelo Russell and Tarik Black pick and rolls look, and not as much in garbage time, right, as we saw it last year. Last year, the only time we ever saw Tarik Black is if the game had already been decided for the most part.
Yeah, it looked amazing against bench warmers last year.
Well, we get to see some kind of preview of it against other kinds of bench warmers this year. If August is very similar to Tarik Black and D'Angelo Russell is out there to run pick and rolls, because Zubac, from what I've seen, the clips that I've seen, doesn't look like the kind of roller, the kind of explosive roller that you would like to see next to Russell.
Well, he's a different type of roller. So I mean, Black's the more explosive guy. He probably has better hands now. I think where Zubac comes in, he's just a bigger target. So Black's the kind of guy you throw the bounce pass to, and he goes up and dunks over someone. Zubac's the guy you throw you throw the ball over and kind of you trust him to catch because he's so big, and then he'll invariably get it around the rim. We still, of course, have to see Zubac in action just to kind of see how that works, because, I mean, we have the benefit of seeing that Black has been good in the pick and roll. But I think Zubac ideally should be doing the pick and roll in summer league as much as anyone.
Oh, well, that's good to know, too. Harrison, is there anybody that Ben had mentioned that, you know, guys that might make the roster? You've been writing about all these guys throughout the offseason, though to less detail than Ben has spoken about them. But is there anybody on the summer league roster that you're really, aside from obviously the starters, but that you're really looking forward to watching in action? I mean, if they're D-League guys, you enjoy watching the D-League pretty extensively. Anybody that really caught your eye that made the roster?
No, there's nobody that caught my... Because mostly, see, my role was... I was mostly news writing about their additions. I don't always know a ton about these guys. I try to do as much research as I can and come up with, okay, here's maybe one thing they're good at. But I don't... you know, when you're on a 20-minute deadline, you got to sometimes, like, cut corners in terms of watching tape and then go back and figure out who exactly you just wrote about later. But
you might have to. I'm gonna edit this out just so that nobody ever knows your secret.
I don't claim to have a ton of insight into some of these guys. I just try. Like, I throw up what they averaged. I throw up like my kind of gut like reaction to signing them. But yeah. So I mean, the one guy that did jump out at me, it's not for any basketball reason, but was Mustafa Fall. Because when I saw his name come in, like I thought that, it, like my first thought was, isn't that the name of Roy Hibbert's post move?
He must have fallen. That's terrible. Pretty. That's all right. There we go.
I've been saving that since before the podcast.
If you want a notable detail about Mustafa Fall, he's the reason they probably signed him, he's 7'2" in shoes. He has a longer standing reach than Rudy Gobert does.
He looked like he was really productive in limited minutes in France, right? I was assuming conditioning and like size was partially the issue why he couldn't play a lot of minutes.
Right. I mean, I think that's a good assumption for anyone who's that big.
Yeah.
I mean, he did manage to shoot over 70%. He had a usage rate of 20 or something. So this wasn't just like casual. Minutes, and he was averaging 10 points a game in France's top league. So, I mean, he's probably not a stiff. I'd be surprised if he makes a lot of hay this summer, but, I mean, if he sees minutes, he conceivably could do something. And that's probably true of every other guy who could play center. Zubac, Jarvis Vernado, Fall. I mean, I think the only two guys who are like bad are just clearly don't have a shot at all are Ethan Ragg and Nikola Jovanovic are just bad players by that standard. I think they're probably going to be bench warmers for most, if not all, of summer league. But the rest of those guys, I think, could conceivably produce.
Vernado was really good in the D League last year, from what I watched and gathered.
Yeah,
I would have also thought in terms of obstacles to get minutes consistently, Mustafa getting thrown off the cliff by Scar in The Lion King probably didn't help his health.
Oh my god!
You guys are terrible, both of you.
While Ben watches tape on these guys and figures out if they can actually play, Anthony and I come up with horrible. Like puns based on their names or just setups for just really groaning one-liners. That's kind of our role, I guess.
The difference was that oddly enough just came off the top of the head. Harrison was storing up his joke for a half hour. All right.
Excuse me.
So we'll move on. We talked about the bigs. We've already talked about some of the guard play. How about wings, the guys that will hopefully be filling in lanes on the break. Ben, anybody that Lakers fans might get to watch and see in the open court that might catch their eye as well?
I mean, aside from, Brown and Ingram should be the guys who start in the wings, as we alluded to earlier. Then Jabari Brown will be off the bench, and he'll primarily be trailing on the break. and shooting threes in that situation. Then Jameel Wilson, originally out of Marquette, was a decent produced decently in the D League. I think he averaged like 15 points for the Mavericks D League affiliate yes. last year.
Yeah.
Then Chris Reichardt, who's as Harrison wrote in once the Adrian Wojnarowski of D League reports, which he honestly is. He does a lot of really good work in that respect.
Yeah, he is. But hey, I wasn't lying.
Yeah, no, definitely. But he thought that Wilson improved quite a bit last season. So, I mean, he could also produce. It'd be tough for him in this situation. I mean, just the roster being what it is. But he's, I think, a capable catch-and-shoot guy, so he should be able to produce along the rest of the big names we've been discussing as well.
That's good stuff. All right, so we'll kind of move on from individual guys and overriding, unless Harrison, you had anything else to add about guys that Ben mentioned, or Ben, did you have anything else to add about anybody that we didn't cover so far?
No, I think we covered everyone. I mean, it's a roster that's really deep in the front court. I think the big question will just be how the front court rotation shakes out over the games, because also. Different guys might play at different parts of the summer league because usually the front office promised their agent, oh, your guy will play at least such and such minutes. So they have to get that all in. And then if they do make it into the playoffs and keep on progressing, the rotation will probably shorten a bit. They'll try a little harder to, like, win more actively instead of just shuffling guys around to see how they look.
Harrison, did you have anything else to add before we move on a little bit?
No, I think we've already made this as much of an in-depth preview of a summer league team as people would ever ask for, and probably more than they wanted.
That's what we're here for. So, all right, we've already spoken a little bit about expectations and not getting ahead of ourselves with the analysis that comes out of summer league, but. How would we define a success for the entire team? Are we looking for, you know, summer league champs? Are we looking for just on-court development? How would you look at this and say, you know what, I'm cool with how summer league played out? Because some people, or quite a few people, I feel like, walked away from last year's summer league with something of a bad taste in their mouth. Ben, I'll let you start.
I would say they should be decently successful, or at least I think what I'm setting, especially after the last 2 years, is that the team looks competent. They look like they know what they're doing. They're executing a coherent system. I mean, guys might have up and down games. I'm ready for that because they're young. Stuff happens. These guys, as Anthony alluded to earlier, were thrown together all of a week ago, and they've been practicing now, but I just want to see progress. They're clearly executing something coherent, and then as summer league goes on, they look better and better.
Harrison, that seems like a very grounded expectation for me. But would you add anything to that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's all about the banners, right, man? Getting those summer league championship things to hang up there and give the Clippers something else to cover up with the selfie. But no, so, I mean, in all seriousness, I think Ben kind of hit everything that we want. I think you want to see all of the young guys, especially the second year ones, look kind of exceedingly competent given the circumstances. You want to see them acquit themselves well. Ingram, I'm kind of ready for anything just because it's his first time extensively playing against NBA players. But I think he'll play reasonably well.
My expectation is that the Lakers summer league team is so good that guys from other summer league teams want to jump on and chase summer league rings, a la Kevin Durant. that's what
I'm saying. Maybe it'll be Kevin Durant. Maybe they'll be that good. He hasn't technically signed the contract yet.
When the Lakers miraculously win the lottery next year, keep their pick and draft Harry Giles out of Duke, then yeah, it'll be lit. There'll be a summer league dynasty.
Summer league dynasty. All right, so we got the positive side of what we would hope to see in Las Vegas. What are some things that if we saw it, we would say, you know, that didn't go exactly how we would have wanted? Harrison, I'll let you start this time.
Well, I think for one, I kind of opened the show with it, Jabari Brown point guard minutes. But from what Ben tells me, I guess I just didn't know as much about those guys, and it sounds like the Lakers do have some backup point guards because, again, for everything Jabari Brown is, he's not a point guard. I'm trying to think. I don't want to see them go like way over the top in trying to win, and I guess like play like Russell gigantic minutes or something like that, which I don't anticipate them doing. But I don't think that they need to be going crazy trying to get victories. Like just kind of go out there, play, don't get injured, that kind of thing. I guess it would be very disappointing if it was like last year and in the scheme they just didn't really know. They looked like they had just, like the coaches had handed them a whiteboard with a play drawn up on it 5 minutes before tip, and we're like, we're going to run this every single possession down, and they just weren't able to pick up on a couple of them or whatever. So I guess I just, like, worst case scenario is, again, they don't look like they know what they're doing, which I think would be a bad sign.
I guess this is a tougher thing to define than success would be, right? But
yeah, I guess a little bit there.
Yeah, for me, what I would be disappointed to see is like last year, the quotes that came after games, you know, they sounded very frustrated. They sounded very, look, man, we're trying, but we just can't get the system, or we're trying, but, you know, are you having fun? Well, how fun would this be, you know? And some of the quotes that came after those games kind of painted a picture that carried into the regular season. So if we saw some of that, that's something that I wouldn't be thrilled to hear about and read about. Ben, would you add anything to the stuff that Harrison and I laid out there?
I think you guys hit it very well. One, that they're not executing this stuff well, and then two, that they're not taking kind of any joy in what should be pretty joyous process all around. I mean, it's relaxing basketball. I would add kind of the two things. One, the second-year guys kind of not showing well would worry me. I don't think Russell's going to have any problems. I think Nance, even if stuff breaks down, will look pretty good. Brown not shooting is probably the biggest danger among the second-year guys. He looks like he doesn't have confidence. He's not producing well. So that'd probably be the one to look at. The rest of the bench guys, I mean, if they play well, they don't play well, it's kind of immaterials.
Whatever.
Yeah, but the lastly, no injuries. No injuries, please.
Thank you. Yep, I was going to add that at the end. That's the number one. Just don't get hurt. Get out of there healthy, and get ready for the regular season. All right, we'll finish here on coaching. Luke is not going to be the head coach of this thing. We've already mentioned who will be. What I'd be interesting, and I brought it up a couple different times leading up to Summer League. I'm kind of interested, or I'd be thrilled if I didn't see Luke Walton on you know, sitting courtside. Or if he is courtside, I would hope it's with the bench. You know, like last year, Byron was sitting courtside and just kind of lingering there like some kind of creeper.
With his girlfriend right next to him.
Right. Well, we're using girlfriend in one way. But we... I don't want to make the joke that I have in my head right now. But what I would be interested to see with Luke Walton is if he's sitting elevated for a little better angle on the way the play is developing and that kind of thing, for some kind of film session, like a live film session that he can take away from. Because I think that's always more productive than sitting courtside, because there's so much going on a basketball court, especially an NBA basketball court where those guys are still moving around so quickly. Anything else from the coaching that, you know, from you know, things that we might see on a basketball court that you would say, all right, yeah, the direction that these guys are going in looks pretty good?
No, there's nothing specifically in that department that I want to see from the coaching staff, but I am, I guess, looking forward to the press conferences a little bit more this season, because Mermes seems like he's Mermes. I'm not sure how to pronounce his last name. I should probably figure that out before I head down there. But he seems like a great interview. Just from what when they hired him, I looked him up and I tried to figure out who is this guy. And so he seems like a good interview. He'll give you good quotes. I'm excited to chat with Casey Owens, who's always a good quote with the defenders, and seems to be just kind of a very positive about his players. And so I think between those two, I don't know if the not having fun thing is going to be as much of a worry as it was last year, as long as the team is playing relatively well.
Mm-hmm. That sounds... And again, a lot of what we're talking about here is almost impossible to quantify and really analyze.
We're overanalyzing, if anything, but...
Right. Well, what I mean is that while we're watching the game, that there's very little that we'll actually be able to take away from. But, like, the stuff, the off-quote, like, Harrison, you're talking about the way the coach communicates with the media... was a major shortcoming for Byron last year. And, you know, some of the quotes that he gave last year added to the fire that led to him being fired. So watching somebody who is a little bit more open as Mermes seems to be, would you know, that'd be nice to hear. All right, that about does it. Like we've said, this is as deep a dive into Summer League as you're ever going to find. But honestly, it's a really fun... exciting time. This trip, like I said in the beginning of the podcast, is my favorite trip of the year. Is we just get to go and be nerds for like a straight weekend. It's great. It's phenomenal. We talked about Jose Calderon. He is now a Laker, so that's cool. We'll have to analyze that in the next couple days, see what the Lakers gave up and all that. But aside from that, thank you very much, Ben, for joining us.
If they gave anything up, it's a terrible trade. It's what they got by Jazz contract. But yeah.
Oh, I'm seeing D'Angelo Russell included in the... No, I'm just kidding.
You're terrible.
For any listeners tomorrow that haven't heard the details of this trade, I am just kidding. At least I think they didn't include D'Angelo Russell.
I think that's a safe bet. We're going to Vegas, so I'll use... I'm willing to put money down that they did not include D'Angelo Russell in this trade.
Yeah, that'll be legal this weekend. But I want to say to the listeners, thank you guys, and make sure that you stay locked on the Locked On Lakers podcast over the next couple weeks, because we're going to be out in Vegas and we're going to be covering the team and we're going to be trying to have these as frequently as possible, not just with each other, but with bloggers who cover other teams and other interesting people. So just stay tuned.
Yep, definitely. And thank you very much, David Locke, for the opportunity. This is crazy. I honestly, this all started with a bunch of guys just kind of bullcrapping about the Lakers a couple years ago.
On a Google Hangout.
Thank you, Harrison, for joining us. Thank you, Ben, again, for joining us. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And I'll talk to everybody in Las Vegas.
Thanks, Anthony.